Now, more Bear Facts and Fish Tales with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
Welcome back, Bear Facts and Fish Tales. Eric, on the line, my son. Mark, of course, didn't make it tonight. He's a little under the weather. We got anything else to add, Eric? I mean, ice fishing-wise in the northern area of the suburbs? Any hot bites?
Nothing that I've heard of. Like I said, I haven't been on the ice. I've been just fishing the river, and so I don't have a whole lot to report. A couple of my buddies have been fishing Mille Lacs, but and they've been doing pretty decent as far as catching bigger walleyes, you know. Mm-hmm. But nothing too crazy. But they're starting to see a few more eel pout show up, which is good. So.
Yeah, that is a good sign. I hope they're coming back up there. As far as real quickly here, and we'll let you go. Folks, Eric spent a lot of time fishing smallmouth bass on Lake Mille Lacs, and I'm going to get right to it. And we'll make it short. 10 years ago compared to now, the bite on smallmouth fishing, what do you attribute it to, the fact that it's just not nearly as good as it was 7, 8, 9, 10 years ago, or even 5 years ago? It's just not, is it? A lot of guys quit going that I know, don't go up there anymore. Is it because of the number of people hitting the spots, or any, what reason?
Well, in my observation, that would be number one for me too, because 10, 15 years ago, If a spot, you know how you do when you're fishing, all of a sudden a spot pops in your head going, that spot should be good right now with this weather, and you go there and you got it. And then another spot pops in your head, okay, and you go there and you got it, and you catch fish on the majority of those spots back in the day. Now when you go there, you ain't got it. There's already people there, and it's kind of like musical chairs. If you know, you can wait your turn and hit it, then another guy's waiting his turn and hit it. And I see a lot of guys that'll sit on one fairly small piece of structure for hours and hours. Literally, you know, they won't move. And so, pressure, I think, is number one. Number two, the only other thing I'm seeing, some areas, there's still a lot of crayfish, but there's some areas where you used to just cruise the shallows and just see crayfish just all over the place. And now there, some of those spots, you don't see that anymore. And I don't know if that has to do with a lot of those shallow rock piles and sand and rock areas that have the good mix are full of that slime, that green slime on the rocks and stuff like that. But anyway, overall, I'd say pressure probably has the most to do with it for, you know, a lot of those areas where the fish used to spawn. I don't even see beds anymore. It's like they're not even using them anymore, quite a few areas. And I've talked to a few guys that see the same thing. So, yeah, a lot of the spots that used to be really good are just, they don't seem to be being used by the fish as much anymore. So I don't know if there's a lot of fish spawning deeper or what, but.
Well, wouldn't you say then that probably there's less of them? I mean,
I would say there's less of them, but I get in arguments with people. I talked to a guy that lives on the lake that argued with me, but he doesn't even fish that much. You know how it is trying to talk fishing. It's kind of like talking politics. But yeah. I personally think there can't possibly be as many bass as there used to be. You know, I don't see those giant schools up shallow anymore. I mean, you used to see just absolutely giant schools of fish cruising up shallow that would blow your mind, and that would happen all summer, you know, July, August, September, all summer long. You could go up shallow around some of the bulrushes and just see hundreds and hundreds of smallmouth in one school just chasing bait or just cruising. That's pretty rare for me to see that now, and when I do see it, the schools are not nearly as big, so I have to say there's less in there. But I'm sure everybody and their uncle will come out of the woodwork and argue that, like, you know, people do, but that's just my observation. Pressure and less fish overall.
Well, I think there's more than one person who would agree with you, Eric. Well, I'll let you go, buddy. And okay. Hopefully I'll see you. When are you coming up here to visit me? In July?
Well, soon as the ice is out.
All right.
Is my plan. So hopefully sometime
in mid to late
April, anyway, at the latest.
Yeah, we're going to go pike
fishing.
Hopefully
it's early ice out.
Pike. We're going pike fishing. All right, buddy. We'll talk to you later. Thanks for calling in.
You bet.
Put Larry on, buddy.
We got him. Killer it's our good Larry. Friend Larry Hansen.
Hey, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
That was fun.
I thought you were out of town.
10 days we were gone out to San Diego, to La Jolla. So we got
really?
Back last night. Yeah.
So you must have missed, the snow and the ice then.
That's right.
Well, I don't think he missed it at all. He sent me a picture kind of rubbing in the blue skies and that lovely-looking weather out west.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did you get... Very nice. I hope you didn't get Californiaized.
No, but Larry, here's what's so funny about it. It's San Diego, the Republicans there.
I know.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a beautiful...
And the city's clean. There's no tent cities. There's no nothing. It's a wonderful place, and my daughter and her husband, they live on the left coast, but they aren't lefty. Okay,
so, and they're right on the border, and with a high population of people of a Mexican descent.
Yeah,
good Americans. Anyway, I love San Diego. I spent a lot of time there in that area way back in 1962. Oh, I bet you it's changed.
I'm sure, Larry, it's changed up a whole ton. I used to go in a past life. I would go fly into San Diego, drive down to Chula Vista, and for 13 years, every 6 weeks, I went into Tijuana. I sold paint to Ertl Toy Company.
I visited Tijuana a few times. I imagine that's changed a little bit, too.
I've been there as well. We've all been to Tijuana. It's cool.
Yeah. Well, you got to go there. If you're in San Diego, you have to go to Mexico.
Yep.
It's a shame what's going on. Well, have you been in town at all long enough to go fishing, or what's going on?
No. We came in last night, Larry. No.
Oh, well, you don't know anything then.
No, but huh? I got two big trips Thursday and Friday of 35 people a crack.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yep. Yeah. Money people out of Wayzata bringing clients and then bringing their employees the next day. So.
So do you have a school?
Go ahead.
What are you gonna do? Tell me about it.
It's just gonna be sunfish and mostly, because that's all you can do. But
how many fish houses
or what? We're gonna be on a weed edge. So. But now I got to go find them, Larry. Seven houses I've rented.
That's what I was talking about. Well, there's something wrong with the delay system here. I can't. It's really hard to talk to a caller. And it's not your fault, Brandon. I'm just saying. Okay, we keep talking over each other because Anyway, Larry. So you got the system set up kind of like an educational deal, right, for the listeners?
Yeah.
Is that what you're doing? Okay, now talk about that.
Okay, so I'll be where I when I fished, I don't know, 12 days ago. It's going to be on a weed edge, so I'm going to be from 16 to 13 feet, and it should still be loaded with sunfish. I can't believe they went anywhere.
Right.
And that's where we'll be fishing at, Larry. So,
I noticed. I noticed, Larry, a lot of people writing articles and on television, YouTube, and they're talking about switching over to shallow water tactics. And I want to jump right in there and say, and I tell you one thing, there's going to be a lot of crappies if you just fish shallow that are staking. They're going to be out deep until like 2 days before they spawn, But in your case, when you have a lot of weeds in the lake, that means those weeds are going to have fish all winter long. And, of course, right now at this time of year. Am I right or wrong?
No, you're 100% right, Larry. And, actually, they've been there, I think they've been there all winter.
Okay? Sure.
because I beat my head against the wall a couple times fishing the holes, you know, the deeper structure where they should be, and striking out. So I had to go, I had to move, and I went shallow and had success. So, but that's, and you got most of these places, you're alone. Even though there's, you know, a couple hundred yards from me, there's a big group of people. So, but that's what I personally think, Larry. Anyway, that.
So the best ice fishing, really. I mean, I know walleyes and northerns down there. They're done right now, right?
Right. Yep.
But the pan fishing down there, the crappies and the bluegills, the best fishing is coming up, and this is a time of year where really. A lot of people get into sight fishing in certain lakes where the fish actually do move in shallower. Got that going on. Well, Minnetonka would be a lake that you could do that in some of the bays.
Yes, because it's clear. Yeah. You can do that. It's clear.
Yeah,
you can see,
really
you can
clear.
See. Yeah, really clear. Yeah. So that's all good, you know. But I can't wait. You know, Eric talking about fishing on the river. I can't wait to have a 7 foot and longer rod in my hand. So,
well, you can get one now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just cut a hole and back up 10 feet and drop the tip of the rod over there. That's all right.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Well, back in the day, Larry, I don't know if you ever went there, but it is a new plant. But back in the 80s and 90s, you could go there because I did it a million times in the winter, and right in their discharge. You just signed up in at the big building, and they told you where to park. You wrote your name down. Yeah, and then, you know, 9/11, that got shut down. But it was fun.
The same thing happened in Red Wing, too. You know, we could go right up to the gates, just drive the boats all the way in there, and we'd catch catfish, walleyes. And then a few years went by, and they fenced it off. You couldn't get in there, and then pretty soon they shut it down completely. And that's what we called Geiger counter walleyes.
Yeah, right.
You know, but there are some big fish in there.
Mm-hmm. And then
it's all good.
Water, they would circulate. So you catch some smallies, you catch some walleyes, you catch a few crappies, and they just kind of go in a circle. I never did what you did down at Red Wing. At the power plant, but that was a fun time. They even let people in there to deer hunt, bow hunt, back in the day. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. Anyway, whatever. It's all done now. Times have changed. Up here yesterday, I crossed into Canadian waters. In the summertime, you don't have to call in when you come back unless you actually touch land. But in the wintertime, as soon as you cross the border, even though it's ice is considered land in the wintertime. So when I came back, I had a call in. and it just doesn't bode well, you know, the regulate, all because somebody did something on 9/11.
That's right.
If you're following politics, you'll know who I'm imitating. Mm-hmm. Somebody did something on 9/11. 2002, was it, or 2001? I forgot.
2001.
2001. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, some people did something. Yeah.
Some people did something.
Yeah.
Larry.
Thanks for explaining the panoptic. I didn't understand how it worked. No one had ever explained it to me the way you explained it with the frequencies going out and coming back.
Yeah, it's just an amazing deal. Yeah, it is. And I think I'm going to buy one. I can't get one. I have to pay full retail. I mean, I don't know anybody. Back in the day, I knew enough people where I could get good deals.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest. I mean, that's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
Yeah,
anyway,
a lot of money to catch your fish.
Well, next week you'll have something more to talk about other than you didn't go fishing out there at all, did you?
No, I was in a kayak, though, and saw dolphins go by us and looked over and saw four different sea turtles and had some seals. They wouldn't come close to you, but the dolphins had no problem scooting by you. So.
You know, when I went overseas from San Diego, I mean, in 1961, And I was out of the harbor maybe 20 minutes while I was standing on the quarter deck. All of us were. A lot of guys were puking already. And I saw my first ever whale.
Oh.
I don't think there was any seals around there then, though, because, you know, during that time, the seal population on the West Coast was pretty low.
Okay.
Big comeback. I don't remember seeing any seals at all. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there I go again, talking about the old days.
No, that's good, though. That's what it's all about. Memory, yep. Man. Memory. Yeah.
Well, next week you'll have some official report.
I sure will, Larry. Yep.
All right, thanks for calling, Larry.
Have a great night.
Have a good night, Larry. You welcome too. Back.
Yep, thanks. Bye.
Well, let's do a break.
All right, Bear Facts and Fishtails, we shall return.
A night full of the important stuff. Bob Outdoors keeps trolling along with more Bear Facts and Fishtails next.
The best showcase of Minnesota bucks under one roof is back. The Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic is coming March 13th, 14th, and 15th to Canterbury Park in Shakopee. See Michael Waddell and Nick Munt from TV's Bone Collector. Get your antlers scored and visit with over 150 exhibitors. Plus, there's the Wild Trails Kid Zone. Parking is free at the Outdoor News Deer and Turkey Classic. Now at the new location, Canterbury Park in Shakopee. March 13th, 14th, and 15th. Learn more at mndeerclassic.com. That's mndeerclassic.com.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Larry here for Frankie's in Chisago City, number one ranger dealer in the cotton picking world. No, he sells ranger boats, just ranger boats made out of fiberglass, made out of aluminum. Also pontoons made by rangers, fiberglass and aluminum, bass boats, walleye boats, whatever it takes. Now, you don't get to be number one unless you're doing something right. And price has a lot to do with it. He always gives the best price. He's almost always there. So, you know, if you have a salesman who has to make a decision, Frankie's there. Boom. Yeah, sell it to him for this. Whatever, okay? 8 Stall Service Center. Joe and Bud are his sons, and they've been doing this forever. Now, if you're going to buy a bass boat or walleye, whatever, you need to know that it's rigged professionally. You take care of it, okay? In and out. Very quickly. Repair on outboard motors. I know from personal experience, they really know what they're doing. They have a new showroom up there. Well, it's 3 years old. And everything's on display. It's all neat put up there. You know, the sports show's coming up. The boat show's over with. They sold a lot of boats, which means used boats. If you're in the market for a used boat, you give them a call at 651-257-6334, or go online, frankies.net. You still got plenty of time. If you're in the market and you don't give Frankie's a try, well, you're making a mistake. That's Frankie's in Chisago City, Minnesota.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snow plow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Let's get back to the important stuff, Bear Facts and Fishtails. Join the conversation by calling 763-450-0100 right now.
I like this music. All right, we're back, Bear Facts and Fishtails. Larry here. Mark is a little under the weather. And anyway, we're going to carry on. I hate talking this much, so I want phone calls. Okay, so I get to listen and then answer a question. And speaking of that, I believe we have somebody on hold.
We do. I got a couple calls on the line. We're going to start things off with Arn in Minneapolis. You're on. We want to talk a little bit about hardware retrieval. Arn, you're on with Larry.
Yeah. Well, Larry, here you go. Here's your here's a phone call for you, so you don't have to talk so much.
Okay, buddy.
So the first retrieval item of two was on Lake Minnetonka many years ago when I was using a Garmin 2 GPS to find my spot.
Okay.
That's a long time ago.
Yep.
And got on my spot, fishing walleyes, and, you know, just checking depth. You know, you got your depth weight on your hook and send her down and figure out where you want it to be. And I start pulling up and got a little weight on there, a little more weight than the depth weight. And I'm like, what the heck? So I just carefully kept pulling up. It was a can of soup from the year before. And I thought, you know, I wonder if this is my soup. So I opened it up. It was my soup.
Really?
Caught it on the rim.
So you dropped a full can of soup, or obviously it had to be a mistake because you didn't throw it in there.
Yeah. No, it was a full can of soup that rolled across the fish house floor, and went kerplunk.
Okay.
You got to get a cat's cover.
No.
What was that?
A cat's cover. They sponsor the Four Outdoorsmen, but that's, an ice hole cover deal.
Yeah. That was before those days. You know, this is homemade fish house. So
now you'll be my hero if you took it home and ate it.
I did.
All right.
Well, once I waited until I was hungry. I already brought food with, but I thought, you know, it's been at the bottom of the lake. It's been kept cold, and it's canned. Right. What the heck?
That's right.
And I thought, you know, the label was gone, so I thought, well, who else would drop a full can of soup, right?
What kind of soup was it?
So if there's anybody that can drop a can of soup down the hole, come back the next year and snag it, I give them kudos.
You got to
eat it.
I'll guarantee you that no one has ever done that exactly the way you did it. Was it Campbell's soup?
Yes, it was. It was a can of the chunky roast beef.
There you go. They could make a commercial out of that.
If it still had the label.
All right.
This man loved his soup so much, he waited for a whole year and started casting for that thing, and he got it.
That's a keeper.
The other one was up here in the cities and with modern, using Navionics on my phone, and so I have my spot on my particular lake, and so, you know, GPS is only so accurate, so I find my spot, and then you walk about 20 feet this way, and then there's your spot, okay, then 20 feet that way, and you can pretty much dial it in.
Yep.
And okay, that's where the house is going, and set her down, drilled holes, and I'd lost a lure the year before. And nearly froze my arm off for 45 minutes, but I saw the lure down there because it's pretty clear water. And so I used my little, crappie rod and jigging rod, and was able to finagle over underneath the ice far enough and played the game crane. And I got my lure back a year later off the bottom of the lake.
Only in Minnesota do these things. Well, maybe
Minnesota.
Wisconsin, yeah. Well, we appreciate
it. Those are my two retrieval stories.
Well, that was great. Great stuff, because I know your number, you are that. No one has ever done what you did. No one. You can safely say that. No one has ever done that. One thing you left out. What kind of lure did you use to snag it?
Well, I used a summertime lure with a single hook.
Okay, but
and
I
was able to get into the eye, or not the eye of, but the like the key ring part, you
the
know.
Tab, yeah.
No, I want the brand of the lure.
The brand.
I want the brand, so you can send it to the company, and they'll give you some free lures.
It's too long ago, Larry. Too long ago. It's just a good memory. But I had to reach over underneath the ice as far as my. I'm 6'6", so I got really long arms. You know, everything I could do with that little fishing pole and my long arm underneath the ice to get over to where it was and pick it up off the bottom. Like I say, it took me about 45 minutes and a lot of tries. But I, the ultimate game of crane, and then your arm is just bright red and frozen. But I got that lure back.
Well, that's a lure retrieve Hall of Fame story.
Yeah. So that's what I got for you, Larry.
Thanks for
Mark.
The call, buddy.
Yeah,
Mark's
night,
not here tonight.
Talk to you soon. Yep. Bye bye.
All right. Moving down the line. I got Jack Baker on the line. Jack, you're on with Larry.
Hey, Larry. Happy birthday,
Jack. Thank you.
Just coming back from La Crosse. We were on Alaska this weekend with the NAIFC.
So how did that go? On Alaska. Lake on Alaska.
Well, water's been going up and down about every 4 days, so the perch have not moved in, but it was a fantastic crappie and bluegill bite.
Well, that's good.
So it was good. We had more kids for the high school on Saturday, so we've got some more signed up for the championship coming up in December. So that was good. We got the kids' clinic going, so all in all, it was a great weekend. It was, you know, you need your sunscreen out there today, but it was a good weekend, and we got one more going in Bemidji, 6th, 7th, and 8th of March. It'll be last high school qualifier. Do have some teams out of Brainerd and Bemidji coming, but it's open to anybody, so get the high school kids 12 years old and older, and the coach can be on the ice with them. And there were parents, doesn't have to be a coach. A lot of high schools don't have clubs or teams, so individuals can do it. Just get two of them and a parent and get involved.
Which team won the championship? I mean, your last tournament.
Down in La Crosse, it was pretty interesting. We'd been over to Reedsburg earlier. And there was a couple of brothers that had broken through the ice in December and lost all their equipment. And the NAIFC guys got them new augers, got them boots, clothes, and everything. And those kids made the trek up to La Crosse, and they actually won it. So, you know, a great comeback story by two high schoolers.
Well, that's fantastic. Now, the Bemidji deal coming up March 6th and 7th, you said?
Yeah, we'll do the registration rules meeting on the 6th, and they'll fish from 8 till noon on Saturday morning as far as the high school goes, and then we do a free kids clinic for, you know, the younger kids. Yeah. So that's all on Saturday.
So anybody interested, then again, throw out that kind of information, because you might get somebody listening that may decide to bring some kids up there.
Absolutely. NAIFC.com. NAIFC.com. North American Ice Fishing Circuit. And you can register for the high school tournament there, or get the information on the kids' clinic in the afternoon, and any kids that come up for the kids' clinic get free rods. So it's worth the effort.
Well, it's what we're all about. We're trying to get people into the sports, and so we can conserve our resources. And if we lose hunter and fishermen, it'll all go to hell.
I hear you. We're working on it.
All right. Well, we're looking forward to hearing the results of the. Or you can call in and push it yet between here and March 7th. There's still a few days. That's not that far off, is it?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
No. All right.
Couple weekends.
Well, thanks for your efforts, and we'll talk to you again.
All righty, Larry. Thank you.
You betcha. That's a good deal.
Yep, gotta love that. Getting a whole new generation in.
Well, who'd have thought it? But, you know, I was sitting out there yesterday, and I mean, you know, I was just so happy to be out on a lake. It was so beautiful, and the fact that I could go by myself without worrying about getting stuck and look down a hole, you know, for 4 hours and catch a few tulipies, I still felt like I did a day's work.
There you go. It's all in a day's work.
When I came home and had a beer, it tasted good.
That's how you know, with a cap
That's
on the
all
day
you know.
Like that. Yep.
I did something today.
Well, I got Matt from Southern Minnesota on the line, and he wants to talk ice fishing. Matt, you're on with Larry.
Hey, Larry. How's it going?
Hey, Matt.
I called you last time from Devil's Lake. I think I was having a little bit too much fun up there.
What are you doing now?
Well, I'm sitting in my fish house down here in the Faribault area. So
how's it going?
Trying to get a walleye here on the last day of the season. It's just, they've really perplexed me the last 2 weeks. They kind of disappeared, and I can't find them.
Here, so, what are you sitting in? The house is in deep water or shallow water?
Yeah, it's about 11 feet here, and okay. I'm kind of on a transition between mud to sand. Mm-hmm. And we've had them, you know, we've been catching them in this sort of same scenario in different places. They just kind of disappeared, and I don't know if they moved up shallower, closer to the weeds, if they're staging more close to like a creek coming in, or it's just a battle. And I don't know. I may have made the wrong choice on the Super Bowl of walleye fishing tonight, but what do you do?
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, you've been working hard at it, but is that lake you're on is stocked, right?
Yeah. Most of these lakes around here have to be. We get quite a bit of fishing pressure down here, so that's kind of a thing you deal with, you know, but it is what it is. So you try to follow those stocking reports, and then, you know, you look back a couple years and see what you see, and then try to play the fish as they grow, and some of these lakes grow fish faster than others, and so it's really tricky, it seems like.
Actually, you know, you hit on a really good point, especially for people who don't do what you did and find out the stocking reports. It's all free. It doesn't, you know, you go online, you find out, and you get that, you know, how many walleyes per lift deal.
Yeah.
And when you get up into the 15, 20, 25, you got, that means there's a lot of walleyes in the lake.
Right.
And so as what we used to call trunk sneaks, those are the kind of lakes that I and other guys I know would go out and fish the weeds, you know, and catch a limit of walleyes up in the weeds. Yeah, throwing plastic worms.
Yep. And I've always, you know, in the wintertime, it seems sometimes they'll drill a hole, and, you know, you can actually look down, get on your hands and knees and look down the fishing hole and see some weeds down there. I don't have a camera. I probably should have one at this day and age, but. But, I mean, I try to, you know, maybe just stay off the edge of them, and I never seem to have much luck fishing right in them, you know?
Well, I think, you know, yeah, if you could find a hole, like, say, a 10-foot diameter clearing up in the weeds.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Right, because the fish just can't see your bait. That's why, you know, yeah, they got to be right next to it, yeah.
But, I mean, we've been picking up an occasional crappie here and there, which is kind of fun too, but it's all mostly nighttime stuff, so you know, you kind of spend the night out here and put your rattle reels down and hope for the best when you're in bed, but it's one of those things, you know.
Well, we really appreciate the fact that you fish a lot and you listen and you're calling in from a fish house right now.
Yeah, right now I'm sitting in here. Yeah. Got a buddy here with me, and we're actually watching the show The Last Alaskans until we turned on the radio program, but it's, I don't know if you ever watched Discovery Channel. It's quite a show. They spend their lives out in the refuge, in the Arctic refuge, and boy, those guys are something else.
One of my favorite shows.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
That's
I'm into that kind
got
of
in common, Larry.
Well, those people, you know, they're doing what our ancestor did. There's no playing around here, except they got chainsaws.
Yeah.
They got chainsaws and stuff, yeah.
And now I suppose that once the walleye season's closed, we can start thinking about maybe getting after some turkeys. I have to start programming that into my brain here.
Well, that's not a bad idea. I know there's some turkey hunters. I've never done that.
You should come down. I'll take you turkey hunting.
I know. I have the opportunities, but, you know, you're 400 and some miles away from me right now.
Okay. Do you need me to come pick you up? You take fishing for a day, I'll take you turkey hunting.
You could just drive up here in the summertime if you want to go fishing. I mean, you know, I'll take you out. But other than that, I ain't driving down there. No way in hell.
You got to go through the city.
Not for an animal that I don't even care if I eat one again.
Yeah, I hear you.
And if I shoot it, I got to eat it.
Right, right.
That's my rule. No, yeah, I don't knock turkey. It's got to be fun. And listen, if I was younger, I would get into that.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I try to get my kid out doing stuff like this. We always go to the Boundary Waters and dink around up there, and it is what it is. You know, it's fun. I do have an opportunity to go back to Devil's Lake again next week for just a weekend little trip. It's kind of a long haul, obviously, but I'm trying to figure out if it, you know, I mean, we had fun last time, caught a lot of walleyes, but gosh, I'd sure like to find some of them perch up there.
Yeah, I really worry about the perch, the jumbo perch, even in a lake like Devil's Lake. I don't think, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm just guessing, talking to friends of mine, it's not like it was. The perch.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, so we'll see.
Yeah, I'll have to play it by ear. If I go back up there, I'll give you guys a call on the way home.
Yeah, do that. We appreciate it. All right, good night, buddy.
Larry, I'll let you get back to it here, let some other people talk to you. I'm sure you're a popular guy tonight. So.
Not popular enough. I have to talk too much. Good night, buddy.
Yeah, we'll see ya.
Another great call.
Yeah, well, you know, that's the nice thing about so many people, you know, are in their fish houses. I mean, where else in America does that happen?
Right, watching your favorite show, calling into a radio station, well, on the ice. That's great.
I used to be like that. I used to be exactly like, just like him. Now, I slowed down a little bit, but sitting in a fish house, for me now, not it's never boring. It's just like, I guess I've done it so long, you know, that I don't need to do it. I don't see. He's got what I had. He got me going there. He's sitting there on the last day,
right?
And he's
squeezing one in
because he right. He's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to catch. That's how I used to be.
Well, you got to pass the torch to Matt and his buds. But hey, we got a couple more calls on the line, so let's jump in. I got Mickey from Robbinsdale. Mickey, you're on with Larry.
Larry, Mr. International Falls, happy birthday, sir.
Thank you. I let the cat out of the bag, but I didn't bring it up.
No, your son did. Yep.
Fortunately, yeah. He was nice enough to include the others of us that maybe aren't as privy to all that inside information. Would you care to disclose for the audience just how old you are, sir?
78.
I was going to say, is it 78 or 9? I was guessing 8.
It's 8.
Yep. Congratulations. Happy birthday.
I can't even believe it.
Yes, you can. Come on.
No, I'm serious. How the hell does that happen?
Now, you're older than Butch, are you not, your brother?
Yeah, 4 years.
Four years? Okay. Yeah. Similar to my brother, one of my brothers and I. Now, I've been in and out, forgive me tonight, due to the fact that I've been working at the hospital here down in the cities and can't always catch every minute of the show. Did I understand that you were catching some tulipies? And if so, were you on Lake of the Woods again, sir?
No, I was on Rainy.
Oh, you were on Rainy. Okay. So you can get out on the access now and out into, Rainy Lake City in that area?
Yes. You can snowmobile any place you want. The lake is healed.
Thank goodness for that, huh?
Yeah, the snow is deep, but it's so hard you can walk on it. You don't even leave a footprint.
Wow.
So it's beautiful.
You still have 24 inches or so of snow on the ground as well up there?
Well, you know, a lake, someplace you only got 6 inches of snow, you know, because of the wind.
Right, but in the woods, it's still quite significant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's significant.
Sports show, is that coming up this week or next week, sir?
April 2nd, I believe, is the first day of the April. Minneapolis Sports Show.
Oh, so is that what I heard you in reference to being in for Frankie's booth for?
Yeah, for the last, many, many years, yep. Been, you know, I go down there and hang out with him and the gang, and usually the Grizz and I'll sit in a boat and BS, talk to people.
Now, there's a cartoon bubble of two of the most beautiful people I can imagine sitting in a fishing boat.
You know what? You've seen us, so you know. You understand.
I do.
I look forward to it.
Yeah, I think you and Mark have been doing this show for, I'm guessing, what, close to 25 years now?
I think it's over 25 at this point.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right in that ballpark.
Unfortunately, Brandon, I think I'm showing my age by admitting that. But it's always been a pleasure to talk to both you and Mark. I've learned a lot over the years from listening to you two. And I can only imagine if I could get out on the water, whether it's hard water or soft with either of you, how much more I could actually learn just by watching you two in action. That would be fun.
Well, believe it or not, the one thing I got out of this, you know, many years of, you know, talking about fishing and having people come up to me and say what you just said, that's why I do it.
Well, in other words, very helpful to a lot of people over the years, as I said, I can attest to, and I know many others who can say the same thing just from listening to this show. It's a wealth of information, and not only that, the callers that call in, too, certainly make the show as well. Guys, I did not want to take up much time. I did want to wish you a happy birthday. I knew it was coming up fairly soon. I did not know it was this soon. Larry, again, I want to wish you a happy birthday. I'm sure Jeannie probably cooked you your favorite dinner tonight, too.
I had beans and wieners.
So, yes.
Those would be gourmet beans, too, sir.
That actually is one of my favorite foods.
There you go.
You know.
All right, guys. You guys have a good week. Keep the lines tight until we talk again.
Okay. Thanks for the call, buddy.
Thank you.
Have a good one.
Did you know, Brandon?
Of course I did.
Now, the Grizz, you know, all thoroughbred horses are born in February. Did you know that, Brandon?
I did not know that, and I'm finding it hard to believe.
Well, not if you knew me really well. you know.
You would never lead me astray. That's interesting. I will look that up.
I've said that since I was 10 years old. That's how long I've known that. No, I could be wrong. But, you know, if I'm wrong, any listener that knows I'm wrong, don't bother calling me because I'll call you a liar.
Yeah, and don't shatter the illusion. I mean, he's made it 78 years believing this. Let's just let it go.
Has a lot to do with it.
I got another caller on the line. Let's get to him before we get to our break here. It's Jig and Jim. We haven't heard from him for a while. Jim, you're on with Larry.
Hey, happy birthday, Larry.
Thank you, buddy. What's going on out there?
Oh, hey, beautiful. If I would have known it was your birthday, I probably could have swung by your house for a birthday cake.
That's a long drive from Buffalo.
You wouldn't have gotten it.
I was up on Lake of the Woods from Wednesday until today.
Oh, how did it go?
Actually, my house, we did real well. There were spurts where it was kind of slow, but there's a new thing we were told about, a new little jig up there called the Dirty Bomb.
Never heard of it.
Well, they had it at the one shop up here. I think it was that Bobber place right there by Wheeler's Point. And, they were like $10 a piece, but they worked to beat heck.
$10 for a jig?
Yeah. it has a little light in it that blinks.
Wait a minute now, Jim.
Yeah.
I think that's illegal in Minnesota. I could be wrong.
Well,
artificial light, it actually blinked. It wasn't a glow.
It was an actual light that blinked inside the thing. It didn't have a battery in it. It was something else in there. It was like these other deals for like that splash blight or whatever.
It was one of those
where I think as long as it doesn't have a battery in it, it's okay.
Yeah, that could be. I'm not.
You know, because it doesn't have the mercury or anything.
Yeah. Well, they're just illegal because for some reason a DNR makes stuff illegal that probably shouldn't be from time to time. But
yeah, I had two guys with me in my house up here. We were with the Fishing for Life group. We were doing our winter retreat and took vets up there fishing.
Sure.
So we had about 20 guys up there, and we were fishing. Let's see, we were 26 miles out in 36 feet of water, and the first day on Thursday, we figured we had about 40 fish, and we only kept probably 7 for the day for the 3 of us.
Mm-hmm.
But their biggest issue we had was no matter how slow you wanted to bring that thing up from the bottom, it was like some of those, air sac would just kind of come right up. I mean, some of them that it was, there was no way of getting them to go down.
Yeah.
Other ones, they weren't real bad. You get them in the hole and poop, down they'd go right away. You know. And after a while, we started talking. We were going, you know, maybe it would be best if a lot of guys didn't fish that deep, so you wouldn't have to run into that, you know, that scenario. But we caught all. We had one walleye that was 22 and a half inches out of my house that another guy caught. So he got the big fish award for the weekend for the whole group. And but we only had 3 walleyes. My first walleye up here was a little guy that was only about 5 inches long. And I was using a pink buckshot rattle spoon that glowed in the dark. And then I did get my first tulipy today, or yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Never caught a tulipy before. So that was a first for me. But, yeah, we had a good time up there. We brought back 18 fish that were all, let's see, we had 2 walleyes and the rest were all saugers.
Well, you had to, no, you got to drive, let's see, 200, close to 300 miles to get to the lake.
Yep.
Then you had to get in a little machine and drive out on a lake 26 miles.
Well, see, I have a wheelhouse, so we just drove the wheelhouse out.
Wait, I'm talking now, Jim.
Okay,
all right?
Yeah, all right.
That takes you a long time, mm-hmm. and you really didn't catch a lot of fish.
Yeah.
Now, the reason I'm saying that, not to knock Lake of the Woods, is what they're doing out, folks, they're just going out to where nobody's been fishing. Day by day, week by week, they move further away to try to find areas that haven't been fished.
Mm-hmm.
One day can be great fishing, one day can be bad. Now, I'm not knocking the lake, but that's what they do.
Right.
Now, pretty soon now, they'll be able to catch fish closer to shore because now a lot of those fish will come back to get ready to, like at the mouth of the Rainy River, you know, where
right.
you might only have to go out a mile or half a mile. So I'm giving people an idea. So you can go to Lake of the Woods until, what is it, Jim, April 1st? I don't know.
I think it's the 15th, or it's around when it probably closes, in the 15th of April
or something like that.
That's when the river closes.
Maybe it's March 15th. I don't know. But anyway, walleye season is still open on Lake of the Woods.
Right.
Hey, we got to take our last break, and then
right.
we got a
right.
familiar
well,
voice on the other end.
Thanks for the call, Jim.
We had a good time, but it was fun. So I'll talk to you guys again then. So
right on.
Let you give a buzz on that.
Have a good night, man. Thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bye.
Bye. All right, short pause. We'll be right back.
Bob Outdoors continues with Mark and Larry on Bear Facts and Fishtails next. Remember, your calls are welcome at 763-450-0100. That's 763-450-0100. Go to mybobcountry.com right now and vote on the Bob FM Chillin' and Grillin' giveaway. Someone's winning a Traeger grill from the Blaine VFW, and you get to decide. Check out the pictures and vote at mybobcountry.com, and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning.
Crystal Welding in Maple Grove is your Hinneker snowplow dealer. Looking to get rid of that unwanted snow this year? Hinneker is the way to go. With their quick attach and flare top trip edge system, makes removing snow easy. Made in Minnesota, Hinneker plows are perfect for residential or commercial use. Have a Bobcat? No problem. Hinneker makes a plow for that too. Crystal Welding in Maple Grove also services all makes and models of plows and salt spreaders. Visit them online at crystalwelding.com.
Larry here for my buddies at Vexlar. 60 years they've been in business, and I've been doing business with them probably for 35 years. Now, I had my first FL8, which is the first 3-color flasher that came up here to Minnesota. I think it was about 1989, and it still works, and now I have the top of their line. They offer lots of different ice fishing packages. I use the FLX-28 now, which has got an automatic depth range, cut a hole, no confusion, drop the transducer, and I'm in 19 feet of water. It's got a digital readout to tell me that. It's got brushless technology. It won't wear out, right? It's going to last forever. I have a five-color selection I can use. Now, a lot of men are colorblind to the color red, so I don't use red as my primary. I use white, and I know a lot of other guys, so I can change my colors to my own eyesight. It's the Rolls Royce of flasher fishing technology. Now, if you go online at Vexilar.com, you can see all the accessories that they offer that may not be available in sporting goods stores. As an example, there's a little machine you can buy called a DD100, which you'll, if you buy one, you can attach it to your older unit, and it will have a digital readout as well. Many things for sale. Again, you can call them at 952-884-5291 or go online at Vexilar.com. Do not go ice fishing without your Vexilar.
NMLS number 638054. Looking for financing for hunting land, a boat, or cabin on the lake? Then you need to head to the State Bank of Faribault. Maybe you're thinking about a fish house, a new ATV, side-by-side, or even a dock system. Come down to the State Bank of Faribault and see Matt or John and do business with outdoorsmen just like you. At the State Bank of Faribault, camouflage isn't just a color, it's a lifestyle. Located in Faribault on Prior Lake, the State Bank of Faribault, creating customers for life, equal housing lender, member FDIC. Mark your calendar for the next Crocodile Productions Gun and Knife Show at the Bloomington Armory this Saturday and Sunday, February 29th and March 1st. Open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, February 29th, and 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Sunday, March 1st. Admission is only $5 per day. Kids under 12 get in free when accompanied by a responsible adult. Buy, sell, or trade guns, knives, military relics, even great-great-great-grandpa's old blunderbuss, all in one location. Visit CrocodileProductions.com or check out their Facebook page for more information.
Now, more Bear Facts and Fishtails with Mark and Larry. Join in the show by calling 763-450-0100.
Hey, buddy. Buddy.
Hey, Larry.
I tried to get a hold of you, buddy.
Yeah. Happy birthday.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm up to your age now.
Yeah. Finally caught up.
Where you been all day? I tried getting a hold of you. I wanted you to call in earlier.
Oh, yeah, I was. I just got home from fishing.
Oh, that's what I figured.
Yeah, I was up chasing bluegills, and that was bright days. I don't care for these real bright days like that. We drilled about 100 holes in this lake, and yeah, we got fish, but we had to work for them. So anyway, that saying, you know, don't leave fish to find fish. Well, I went over to another lake, and I got two bites over there. I got two bluegills there, and I was with Bud, you know, Frankie's son. He went today with me, and we should have stayed on a lake we were on. We were getting a fish about every, you know, 8 to 10 minutes. So, but yeah, we picked up. I got enough to eat for tomorrow. There will be a pile of bones on my plate tomorrow afternoon. So,
thank God.
Yeah, but yeah, that's. That's about what I did this week.
Well, you got to start figuring out where you're going to get the fish for the sports show.
Yeah, well, we got to, I don't know, Frankie's down in Texas now, so he's going to went down there for a couple weeks, get out of this, you know, this weather up here. So, but, when we're going to start with that. Yeah, we better hurry up because if it stays warm like it is, well, and you know, I'm starting to see signs of spring. Today we were sitting, you know, we're about 100 some miles north of here, and two swans went flying over us. And yesterday I seen some geese flying around where, you know, this time of year there's no open water around. So, well, I like to see that. When you start seeing geese and stuff flying around, you know, it's telling you the warm weather is not too far away. So.
That's right. You know, February is 29 days this month, this year?
Yeah.
Is it 29 days?
Yeah.
Don't forget the 1st of March is my official first day of spring.
Yeah. Yeah. I got my new fishing license yesterday. They're out. Finally, you can get them. So, for, you know, next year. But if you, you know, Larry, when you get old like us, you think, and if you're not thinking about it, you'll forget about it. So I was thinking about it sitting up at Frankie's yesterday, and you know, I went and bought it while I was, you know, while I was thinking about it. And I went back into the maintenance part back there, and I was talking with the guy back there, you know, that works with Frankie, and sitting there looking at a big pile of, you know, a bucket full of boat plugs. Mine's all wore out, so I bought two of them, put one in the front of my little glove compartment up there, and I put a new one in the boat, so getting things ready now.
Hey, Chris, you ever get to the point where you think to yourself, you know what? What are they going to do to me if I don't buy another license?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I think because of you and I, they should have a new law that after 78, you don't have to buy another license.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, they used to have something like that back in, when you were, what, with 68 or 65 or something. Because my uncle used to rub it into me, you know, or my dad and I. You didn't have to buy a license, and they changed that again. Now you got to be, what, 90 or something?
Oh, 110, I think.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know,
it don't pay to get old anymore.
No.
You know what, man? We're lucky. Hey, you and I are going to be in a boat as soon as the ice is gone.
Yep.
Hell or high water, doesn't matter. We will be in a boat. Because we're lucky enough to be here.
Right. Yeah. Yep.
Every day's a gift.
Yeah. Well, you slow down a little bit, but still, you know, today, I had, you know, it wasn't for the kids. We had, you know, I had the kid with today. He drilled, I don't know, 100 holes. I used to do that, too, but you get older like that, and, you know, my leg is bothering the heck out of me, so I limped around with my cane out in the lake, and my FL8 I carried, my FL28 I carried in one hand, and my 7-gallon bucket in the same hand. I got that routine down and a cane in the other hand. So
I was thinking about you this last week because I saw that Al Linder just got a new knee, but it made me think. I was like, man, the Grizz needs to get that.
Yeah, I'm supposed to, but they wanted to do it in April, and I told them you're going to wait until a week after deer hunting before I can, you know, get in. I ain't wasting a whole summer fooling around with that.
Mm.
Okay, here's the deal, Grizz.
Yeah.
About drilling holes. And I'm only going to say this once, folks, for the rest of you. Grizz and I don't need to drill a lot of holes because we almost always get it right the first hole.
You're on the fish right away, first try.
Yeah.
Am I right, Grizz?
Yeah. Right.
I believe it for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
So.
Well, hey, guys, it's 9 o'clock.
Thanks for calling, buddy.
Okay.
Throw your number out.
All right. Area code 651-771-6231, or you can look me up on the internet, fishwithgrizz.com. And well, have a happy birthday again, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Have a good week, guys.
Thanks,
Larry.
Buddy.
Yep. Yeah.
Talk to you later, Grizz.
Yep.
And with that, is that Roy?
There he is.
There he is, Roy Rogers, still king of the Cowboys. We're wishing everyone good night. Good night, Brandon.
Night, Larry.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then. Who cares about the clouds if we're together? Just sing a song and bring the sunny weather. Happy trails to you. Till we meet again.
That should tide you over for a while. Bob Outdoors, wrapping up another great weekend. The guys will be back next Sunday at 6. If you missed any part of Bear Facts and Fishtails or the Four Outdoorsmen, jump on mybobcountry.com and click on the Weekend tab. You can listen back to the shows anytime you need a quick trip through Bob Outdoors. Sponsored by the State Bank of Faribault.